This is The Catalyst. I'm Chris Cooper, and I'm going to walk you through our Catalyst group program for the week. But first, I want to talk to you about how shortcuts hurt your health. Now, this is mid-August 2024. Most people who've decided to improve their health way back in January have sadly given up by now. The problem is that most people seek shortcuts to health. They look for the get lean quick milkshakes, the crash diets, the drugs, the zero money down gym sign up programs that prey on people like us who want the shortcuts. We want the hacks. But health is really a game of momentum. A little exercise every day is better than one all out 30 day blast. Protein at every meal every day will beat a 90 day crash diet. Workout challenges are fun and fad diets can work in the short term. The problem is that most of those actually hurt us in the long term. For example, cutting calories drastically can destroy lean muscle tissue, which is what drives your metabolism. This is why diets usually cause long-term weight loss. It's like making your car lighter by taking out parts of the engine. Long term, it's not going to get you where you want to go. And for example, jumping straight into intense exercise can make you feel really good for a day, but if you crush yourself in the first week, you're not going to last long because muscle soreness and potential injury will move you backward instead of forward. When can a shortcut help us and when can it hurt us? Well, here's a four-question test that I use to evaluate any new nutrition or exercise strategy, any workout, any diet that we're going to be using at Catalyst. First, I ask myself, is this repeatable? Can people at Catalyst keep doing this for a long time? Then I ask, is it non-harmful? In other words, what are the downstream effects on my health? If it helps me lose 5 pounds today but gain back 10 pounds tomorrow, then it's harmful. Third, is it additive? Will it improve over time, or will the effects of this thing that I'm trying burn off over time? And fourth, do I have to jump right in, or will I see results by trying a small dose first? If the only way that I can lose weight by cycling is to cycle 100 kilometers a day starting from the first day, then that's not going to work for most people. Let's take a few past examples of former fitness trends and the stuff that you're probably getting pitched in your Facebook feed right now and hold them up to our four filters for shortcuts to see if they're valid. First, let's look at weight loss shakes. Are they repeatable? Can you stay on this diet of milkshakes forever? No. Are you really going to do this for the next 40 years? No. Is it non-harmful? Actually, most shakes are harmful. All the protein and weight loss shakes use sweeteners, usually some kind of corn derivative like fructose or a chemical. On one hand, you're brought closer to insulin resistance, which is diabetes, and on the other, you're ingesting a lab experiment. So that's two strikes right there. Most shakes also use a combination of appetite suppressants, caffeine, and a little laxative, ooh, that's fun, to keep you full and alert. But your body quickly downgrades its energy expenditure to match, and when you go off the shakes, you quickly gain weight, and it's all fat this time. So long-term weight loss shakes make you fatter and sicker. And this is why the shake ads focus on short-term quick gains. I lost this much weight in 30 days, because most of the shakes actually cause a rebound effect after a few months. Third filter, is it additive? Will it improve over time? Well, you'll probably start to hate taking protein shakes instead of eating real food. And every shake you drink is less effective than the one before because of the stuff that I just mentioned. So you're getting smaller by starving out your metabolism, but you're also getting fatter at the same time. Lose-lose. And finally, number four, can I try a small dose first? Nah, the only real diet is cutting your calories way back and only consuming the shakes for food. Now let's look at the keto diet, but you could apply this to the paleo diet or any diet that you read about in the coming years, right? So first, is it repeatable? Can I keep doing this for a long time? Well, people have been doing ketosis and intermittent fasting and high-fat diets since before we started recording time. And if you're trying to beat a sugar addiction, a short ketogenic period might actually help you. But the real question is, can I sustain this for the rest of my life? And the answer to all diets is no. If you stop eating grains, your body will lose the ability to process grains. If you stop eating carbs, you'll become less resistant to insulin in the short term, but your body will learn and become better at gluconeogenesis, which is breaking down your muscle tissue to trigger an insulin response. And if you eat in a different way than everybody around you, they'll also pull you back into their habits. So it's non-sustainable long-term. Second, is it harmful? Is it going to hurt you long-term? What are the downstream effects on my health? Well, long-term, kicking sugar is a very positive thing. But rapid weight loss through any measure or binge dieting or any unsustainable practice will always have a rebound effect. You have a relationship with food. One-night stands with diets will always come back to haunt you. Think about, for example, the Bernstein diet or the Long Beach diet. It keeps coming back in many iterations. And the Bernstein diet is basically a very low-calorie diet of about 800 calories a day. And sometimes when it comes back, it's supplemented with appetite suppressants or vitamins or caffeine or whatever to make it easier to stick to the diet. But after you've been on the diet for 30, 40, 50 days, your body is downgraded to that level and you're no longer losing weight. And worse, you've lost all your muscle tissue. It's burned up. So when you start eating real food like normal, you gain weight back and it's all fat. So is it non-harmful? You know, usually any short-term diet will be harmful. Third, is it additive? Will it improve over time? Well, you might get better and better at eating paleo. You might get better and better at eating the zone or keto, but you might also become neurotic about food. And there's a reason that people with eating disorders jump from diet to diet. They love the feeling of control, and diets give them a really clear good and bad line. This is good and this is bad. Unfortunately, that's not sustainable in life. And everybody knows the term yo-yo dieting by now. Fourth, can I try a small dose first? Yeah, absolutely. Give up sugar for 30 days and see how you feel. Now let's talk about joining a gym. Is it repeatable? First filter, can I keep doing this for a long time? Yes, you can join a gym and keep going for 40 years. We think that you should do coached fitness at least for the first 2 to 3 years, but even if you pay $9.95 a month for an access-only gym and show up, you will benefit. That showing up is the key, though, and most people don't in an access-only gym. Second, is it non-harmful? What are the downstream effects on my health? Yeah, there are probably no negative effects to exercise. Very, very, very few people get injured in the gym. And when they occur, those injuries are usually overuse problems, like you bench press every Monday and do leg extensions every Friday, and they don't happen for a few years of overuse. Third, is it additive? Will it improve over time? Yes, training with weights has a compounding effect. You get stronger, your muscles improve your metabolism, and you get better at doing things. Unless you're sticking to that same old 3 sets of 8 reps program that you did 20 years ago. You need constant variety. But in general, running becomes more fun the longer you run. Weightlifting becomes more fun the longer you lift. And CrossFit gets even more exciting over time. And fourth filter, can I ease into it? Yeah, if you like, you can try fitness on your own first. Or you can do our on-ramp program. And even if you don't join Catalyst afterward, our on-ramp program will improve every workout you do for the rest of your life. Now, you can apply these filters to just about anything in life, but it's especially important when you're talking about your health and fitness because you only have limited time. You probably only have limited money. But more than anything in our culture, we have access to the food that we need to eat. We have access to the gym and the equipment and the running shoes that we need to get fit. We have access even to the time. The problem that stops most people is problems of abundance. We have too many choices. We have too many options. And so we get overwhelmed. The solution is to talk to a coach who will point you in the right direction and say, do exactly this. They'll remove all the question marks for you, the overwhelm, all the paralysis by analysis that you're going through and tell you exactly what to do. Now, for example, here's what we're doing in our group programming this week. On Monday, we'll start with some strength. We're going to be doing some thrusters and some sumo deadlifts. Now, these are compound movements. That means every joint in your body is moving at some point during this lift. These are the types of movements that actually put you in better shape because these are the types of movements that are truest to real life. Going into the gym and locking your elbows on the preacher curl bench and, you know, knocking out a set of 8 with one dumbbell, that's cool. It's going to look cool. It's going to give you bigger biceps. But the reality is that you're probably building a weak link into your chain. A sumo deadlift high pull by contrast, is going to start by engaging your calf muscles, and then your hamstrings, and then your glutes, and then your spinal erectors, and then your trapezius, and then your delts, and then your biceps, and then your brachioradialis, your forearms. And that's one rep. You get a big bang for your buck, and you don't create weak links in your chain by overlooking them. On Tuesday, we're going to start with some aerobic work. You're going to be doing some bike, some run, row, box step up onto a low box. Then you're going to be doing some high plank shoulder taps. This is an amazing metabolic workout. You're going to be burning a lot of fat. It's going to help you look better, feel better long term. It's going to elevate your mood. And then from there, this is awesome. We're going to go straight into a HIIT workout. So you're going to row a kilometer, then do a max set of pull-ups, and then do 21 dumbbell thrusters. Okay, then you're going to rest 3 minutes, try and recover as well as you can. Then you're going to do 21 dumbbell thrusters and do another set of max pull-ups. And then you're going to row 1K at the end. And what we're trying to do here is measure how many pull-ups you can do. Do you do better after the row, or do you do better after the thruster? Do you do better when you're fresh or better when you're tired? I think you're going to be surprised, but this is a fun way to approach it. Wednesday, we're going to start with some strength. We're going to do some heavier weighted pull-ups. So I'm going to challenge you a bit. I'm going to ask you to step up in your normal pull-up variation. If you're used to doing lat pull-downs, it's time to graduate to maybe a banded pull-up. If you're used to doing banded pull-ups, it's time to try a strict pull-up or a kipping pull-up. If you're used to kipping, let's go strict. If you're used to strict, let's add a little bit of weight. We're going to make things a little bit tougher to make you better at that pull-up. Then we're going to be doing a hang clean for 3 sets of 3. Now, this is exciting because we've just had the Olympics. We watched people doing a clean, and a hang clean is the most explosive part of that clean. You feel like an Olympic athlete, but it's actually quite a bit easier than a normal clean. From there, we're going to be going into an aerobic workout. And then, my favorite, Thursday, we're going to do Fran. Now, Fran is a named benchmark workout. For many years, it was the most popular workout in CrossFit. CrossFit was kind of renowned for this workout called Fran. And the founder of CrossFit, Greg Glassman, would name these workouts after women. He said, you know, like a hurricane, they have names. And the reason they have names is because we want to benchmark our performance against them. Now, Fran is a very anaerobic workout. Just about every joint in your body is moving in both directions. So barbell thrusters, knees are bending, you're pressing overhead. Pull-ups, you're pulling from overhead to your shoulder. Fran's a classic, and it should be done anywhere between 3 minutes and usually about 8. And what we're trying to do there is just maintain maximal heart rate, zone 4, zone 5, the entire time. The cool thing about training in zone 4 and zone 5 is like we need it for life, right? This is how we train ourselves for emergencies. But it's really hard to do if you're on your own. It's really hard to push yourself if you're by yourself. It's hard to push yourself if you're just doing one thing like running or cycling or swimming. It's easier to push yourself if it feels like a game and you're doing it with other people. You'll push yourself harder and you'll develop that high level anaerobic capacity, your ability to perform in an emergency situation better than with any other method. And that's the beauty of CrossFit. And Fran is kind of like the go-to cornerstone workout of CrossFit. It's very, very quick. It's painful, absolutely. And the faster you get, the harder it is mentally to do because you know what it takes to hit a PR. But this is also great mental training. Then on Thursday, we're going to start with strength workout. We're going to be doing dumbbell curls, some dumbbell presses, dumbbell rows, dumbbell walking lunges. And then we're going to go straight into an aerobic portion. We're going to be doing some single under jump rope. We're going to be doing some kettlebell swings, just Russian swings, just up to your chin, and then dumbbell shoulder presses. And that is geared up to have a metabolic benefit. Friday, we're going to do Cindy. Now, Cindy is another CrossFit benchmark workout. This is an AMRAP, so as many rounds as you can do in 20 minutes of 5 pull-ups, 10 push-ups, 15 air squats. Cindy is one of my favorite benchmark HIIT workouts of all time. In the first couple rounds, you're going to be in an aerobic state. You're going to be moving, you're going to be breathing, but you can have a conversation. Very quickly, though, you'll enter an anaerobic state and you got to try and stay there. It's easier to stay in an anaerobic state with mixed modal interval training, meaning you're going from one exercise to another. It's just easier mentally. You know, it's motivating to go from pull-ups to push-ups to air squats. It's wild to watch this and watch people work out really, really hard for 20 minutes, especially because those same people, whether beginner or advanced athlete, cannot maintain that same level of intensity or performance or output in any single modality. You can't run that hard for 20 minutes. Nobody can. You can't bike that hard for 20 minutes. Nobody can. But if we mix things up, mixed modal interval training, you can maintain a crazy high level for 20 minutes. And this is really going to develop your fitness. Now, we've got a partner workout on Saturday, but I really want to talk to you about Sunday. Sunday is the Arch Ride. This is August 25th. Arch is our community hospice in the Algoma region. It's where people go at the end of their life to pass with dignity in as much comfort as possible. It is maintained by a professional staff and also by some volunteers, and it is funded largely by donation, amazingly. If you've ever known anybody who's been to Arch, you are grateful that they exist. And one of the ways that we can support them, and we do support them every year, is their bucket list cycle. You can ride 30 or 40K, you can ride 70K, or you can ride the full 100 with me. It's $100 in pledges. I'm matching the first $10,000 raised personally because that's how important this this ride and this cause are to me. I hope you just show up. Even if you've never ridden 30 kilometers on a bicycle before in your life, you can do it. Pump your tires full of air, lube your chain, adjust your seat post. Let's go. You can ride a bike. You can ride 30 kilometers. You can do it with your friends. This is one of the funnest events all year, and I hope that you participate, whether you're training for it or not. Just starting at the Cornfest grounds on St. Joe Island, pulling out that long driveway with a couple of hundred other cyclists. You know, everybody's got a colorful t-shirt or maybe a bike jersey on, and then swinging through the maples at the top of the hill of Richards Landing and zooming down that Richards Landing hill at the start. I mean, that alone is worth driving to the island, getting your bike tuned up, showing up and participating. Don't worry if you're scared. Don't worry if you think, I'm not going to know anybody, or I can't do it, or I'm not as fit as other people. There are people of all ages, all fitness levels, all walks of life there. If you don't know somebody, find me and I'll introduce you to people. You'll have a new friend in the first 3 minutes. I guarantee it. And you'll have a great time. This is The Catalyst. We'll see you at the gym and hopefully at the Arch Ride.